Do take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 14. It's on page 1082. John chapter 14, starting at verse 1. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.
Good morning, everybody. I seem to be collecting Bibles up here. Now, we've had a bit of a change of direction on this morning's sermon. If you follow along in the term cards or you're reading the news on Friday, you might be expecting a sermon with the title Right to Die on the theme of assisted dying or assisted suicide. And we are intending to revisit that subject soon, probably in the autumn term. It's a really important issue for believers to think about and important for our country as a whole. And as we come to a week where we're going to be voting, I do encourage you to look on the Christian Concern website, and there you can download a resource which tells you what different parties' positions are on important matters like that, and as well as others. But a couple of days ago, the elders and I prayerfully decided that our church family might need something different this week. And so we're in John 14. What do we do when our hearts are troubled? I think we all know this feeling at some point. Under the weight of emotional stress, faced by the grim reality of death, uncertain as our sense of security is stripped away from us, financial cares, global woes, future fears pressing down. And of course, we'd rather keep our very British stiff upper lip in place. I'm fine, thanks. But we all know this troubled feeling at one point or another. Sleepless nights, nagging doubts, troubled hearts. So what do you do to comfort a troubled heart? When I'm feeling a bit stressed, sometimes I'll go out on the golf course in the hope that that will calm me down a bit. But usually after searching in the bushes for my second lost ball of the day, I'm questioning my coping strategy. Other coping strategies for troubled hearts are entertainment, alcohol, relationships. But these are all flawed. Those Netflix binges will be interrupted by that judgmental pop-up. Are you still watching this? Really? It's been 4 hours. And the numbness of a few drinks doesn't do anything to solve tomorrow's problems. It just adds a headache to them. They don't bring real comfort. So what should we do with a troubled heart? Jesus tells us the ultimate coping strategy here. Jesus tells us that troubled hearts should believe in him. It's Thursday night, and everyone has just had a celebration feast. Yet as the meal comes to a close, there's no laughter around the table because Jesus has served up a bombshell with dessert. He says, my children, I will be with you only a little longer. Where I am going, you cannot come. Now this is terribly hard for his friends to hear. Jesus calls them his children because over the past 3 years, he's become a real father figure to them. They've built an affectionate family relationship together. They love him And now they're about to lose him. And they don't really understand this, so around the table they ask Jesus to explain himself. Peter says, "Lord, why can't I follow you now?" Thomas says, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way?" Philip says, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Their sense of security has been stripped away, hasn't it? They're weighed down under emotional stress and nagging doubts. Their hearts are troubled. So what does Jesus say to them? "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." And isn't this so typically beautiful of the selfless love of Jesus? I mean, he's the one who's just hours away from facing torture and death. He's the one whose heart should be most troubled. And yet here he is speaking words of comfort to his friends. Above everything else, he's concerned for their troubled hearts. Jesus says that believing in him will comfort his disciples' troubled hearts. And why is that? Why should troubled hearts believe in Jesus? I'm going to look at two reasons from these verses today. Here's the first one. We'll put it up on the screen. Troubled hearts should believe in Jesus because there's room in the Father's house. He says in verses 2 and 3, "My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." He's comforting his friends with the promise of heaven. Peter, Thomas, Philip, and the rest, "I'm going, and yes, that's going to be really hard, but I'm going so that you can have a place with me. A place in my Father's house. And even though I'm leaving now, I will come back for you." That's what Jesus is saying here. Now, it's easy for us to be a bit detached from the promise of heaven. Like if we've already got a great house now, it's hard to be particularly comforted by the promise of a great house in the future. And if you're already comfortable now, why would you care about comfort later? Added to all of this is the kind of cartoonish, fluffy, harp-playing image of heaven that we get through media. And I don't know about you, but sitting on a cloud for all eternity playing the harp sounds dull. Sounds a horrible way to spend eternity. But the way Jesus talks to his disciples about heaven would fill their troubled hearts with comfort and longing, and hopefully ours as well. There's three things about heaven here. First, as you've already noticed given the title of this sermon, Jesus calls it his Father's house. He's describing heaven as the family home, not a place of dysfunctional pain as some family homes can be, but a perfect place of security and acceptance. Think about a favorite memory from growing up in your family home. It might be playing board games in a living room around a roaring fire, or maybe it's gathering around a dining room table laden down with good food. Or maybe think about the sort of place you wish your family home would have been as you were growing up. The Father's house is even better than that. Heaven means coming home. It's a place of grace without question, mercy without exception. In the family home, you are loved always. It's warm, it's welcoming, it's comfort, because it's Father God's house. And that is what he's like. He's the God of all comfort and compassion. Second thing about heaven here, Jesus says that his Father's house has many rooms. Many rooms. Now, the best places on earth often have exclusive guest lists. Only the rich and the famous get invited. Only a few are welcomed into the VIP section. But heaven's not like that at all. The Father's house has many rooms, so his invitation to join him goes out to the whole world. Some people might think, "Oh, God would never want me in his house. I'm just not his sort of person. I'm not the churchy type. But there's no such thing as God's sort of person. There are many rooms in his house. His invitation is for the whole world. His invitation is for you. And the third thing about heaven here that we see, Jesus says, being in the Father's house means being with him. My wife and I moved house about 6 months ago, really enjoying it. Lots of space for Josiah to run around. And as with all the other houses and flats we've lived in, I've hung up a sign in our hallway. Now, be prepared, this is cheesy, but it illustrates the point. Here's what the sign says. What I love most about my home is who I share it with. What I love most about my home is who I share it with. Cheesy but true. My home is special because Mel and Josiah live there. And heaven is like that. The Father's house is a wonderful place, but the highlight is being with Jesus. Heaven will be a completely remade world. We'll run and we'll laugh, and all the new creation will be a great thing. But the best thing will be that God in the flesh will join in with us. We will be with the glorious Christ, the one who loved us, the one who died for us, the one who even now is longing that we would be with him where he is. Jesus says, I will come back and take you to be with me. Heaven is the Father's house. It has many rooms, and it's being with Jesus. Way better than sitting on a cloud playing a harp. And on a dark Thursday night, sitting around a quiet dinner table, Jesus' disciples hear this and find comfort for their troubled hearts. And doesn't that do something in our hearts too? Facing financial cares, global woes, and future fears, what a difference to know that the knot in your chest will not last forever. A disciple of Jesus knows that in the end, all cares, all woes, all fears will cease, and you will be in the place you were made for. You will come home. And faced with the grim reality of death, what a comfort to know that there's room in the Father's house. Yes, your loved one who believed until the end has been welcomed home. Yes, there is room for you too if you believe. Yes, even after you depart this life, the sign on the doors of heaven will still read rooms available. So those you leave behind will still have the opportunity to believe as well. Troubled hearts should believe in Jesus because there's room in the Father's house. And secondly, troubled hearts should believe in Jesus because he is the way to get there. Jesus is the way to get there. Now in verse 4, Jesus, after talking about heaven, tells his disciples, you know the way to the place where I am going. But of course, Thomas isn't quite so sure. And in fact, he doesn't understand Jesus at all. So he asks him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. So how can we know the way? And that's a really good question for all of us to ask. What is the way to heaven? How can I know the way to heaven? Do you remember what life was like before sat-nav? It's hard to imagine how we found our way anywhere. We had to have those awful yellow AA maps, didn't we? Those ones which, when you unfolded it, it was basically the size of a king-size duvet, which isn't exactly convenient when you're enclosed in a car. If you're looking for the way to heaven, our world will hand you one of those impossible-to-read AA maps. You'll be confused. You won't know. There'll be crisscrossing roads everywhere. The world doesn't know the way. But disciples do know the way, because we know Jesus. Jesus says to Thomas and to us, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus says he is the only way to the Father's house. Only he can bring you home. None of us can rock up at the doors of heaven and expect to be let in. A few Christmases ago, my whole family were gathered at my parents' house. I'm blessed to have a family that gets along well, so we were laughing and chatting, and dessert was about to be served. The brandy was ready to be poured on the Christmas pudding, all very exciting. But then there was a knock on the door. Who could that be? I mean, all of us are here. It's Christmas Day. We're about to have dessert. Who is knocking at this door? Now, my mum opened the door, and there were two strangers outside. Can we come in? What a bizarre request. This is a true story, by the way. Now, my mum's a really nice person, so she did welcome them in. And it turned out that they were vague acquaintances, very vague acquaintances of my grandparents. But I tell you, all the laughter, all the chatting died instantly. It was so awkward, especially as my grandparents didn't remember who they were. So before long, it was time for them to go. They were strangers in the family home. And by nature, we are all strangers to Jesus' family home. How could we spend a whole life pushing God away and expect, when we die, to be welcomed into his house? That would just be strange, wouldn't it? But Jesus went to the cross to be the way to be welcomed in. The Son of God became a stranger so that strangers could become sons. Jesus became like God's enemy so that we could become God's family. By taking our sin and rejection on himself, Jesus bridged the gap between us and God. So this time, remember or think of another feast. This time it's in the Father's house. The family is all gathered, laughing and chatting in perfect delight, and there's another knock at the door. Who could it be? The door is opened and there you stand. Will you be welcomed in? The only way is Jesus. If you don't believe in him, you will be left out in the cold. If you do believe in Jesus, he will get up from that dining room table. He will walk over to you with welcome arms and say, "This person is welcome. I died for this brother, this sister. I have taken their sins, and now they are just as much part of this family as I am." Jesus is the way to enter the Father's house, the only way to enter the Father's house. And then you're home. Perfect acceptance, rest, comfort, finally and forever. By dying on the cross, rising to new life, and returning to the Father, Jesus became the way for all to join him. Believe. How can I be sure this way is real? Because Jesus is the truth. He's God's truth. How can I be sure this way is worth it? Because Jesus is the life. He's God's life. He's life abundant and life to the full. And that's what life in the Father's house is like. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And on a dark Thursday night, sitting around a quiet dinner table, Jesus' disciples hear this and find comfort for their troubled hearts. And this is such great comfort for us who believe in Jesus as well. Facing the grim reality of death, it is natural for all of us to wonder, will I be welcomed in? Or have I missed something? Jesus couldn't be clearer in his instructions, could he? As long as you believe in him, you are going the right way. You will come to the Father. You will be welcomed home. Why should troubled hearts believe in Jesus? Because there's room in the Father's house, and Jesus is the way to get there. Whatever you're going through, those are comforting words, aren't they? But let me be perfectly clear. These are comforting words for disciples. These are comforting words for Jesus' friends. These are comforting words for those who believe. So why not believe in him for the first time today? Don't be shut out in the cold. Don't face a lost eternity. Believe in Jesus. Trust him to forgive your sins, and you will be welcomed in. All it takes is the courage to admit that you've been rejecting God, pushing him away. All it takes is the humility to ask for his forgiveness and trust in Christ. If you want that here this morning, why not join me and join us as we pray to close? Oh, Lord Jesus Christ, thank you so much for these comforting words of a hope in heaven, of the Father's house. Father, please forgive us our sins. We have pushed you away time and time again. Yet thank you that you have sent your Son to be the way so that we can be welcomed in. We trust in him. We believe in him. And we thank you, Father God, for that welcome, that comfort that is there for all who do believe. We pray especially for those who are struggling, whether with stress, whether with heavy burdens, whether with loss and grief. Father, we pray that the hope of heaven, the hope of being with Jesus, the hope of being in your house forever would bring comfort even in the middle of the tears. We ask in Jesus' name, Amen.